It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Internet service providers promise specific upload and download speeds. In most cases, these promises are stated as speeds of up to whatever the promise is, which would allow the ISP to say 15 megabytes is definitely in the up to 500 megabytes speed range. That's the range they promised. Well, that doesn't happen very much these days, but it is still worth checking occasionally to see if you're getting what you paid for. In short circuits, there is no cost for Adobe's PDF reader, but Adobe's solutions start around $150 per year if you need to edit PDFs, even occasionally. There is a free online service that might be more than sufficient if your needs are minimal, and maybe even if they're not. And data breaches happen too often to be concerned about individual incidents. Instead, consider all of your relevant information is out there somewhere, and instead, develop a defense plan. It's a good idea to test your internet service provider's performance occasionally. When I had problems with a service provider years ago, I checked their performance at least once a day for several weeks and eventually was able to convince them to fix the problem. Service to my neighborhood was fine, but the cable drop from the pole to my house was faulty. Squirrels had chewed the wire, which I found is something that squirrels like to do. Service returned to normal after the provider replaced the cable between the pole and my house. There are lots of speed tests available. Your internet service provider may offer one, but Speed Test, Netflix's No Frills Fast, and Comparatech's Broadband Speed Test are more reliable. You'll find links to all of those on the TechBiter Worldwide website this week. There are more. Just open a search engine and type Speed Test. And one you might want to try is by Cloudflare. I also have a link to that on the TechBiter Worldwide website. The company provides content delivery network services, cloud cybersecurity, distributed denial of service mitigation, wide area network services, reverse proxies, domain name service, and domain registration services. Cloudflare is best known as a content delivery service that uses a geographically distributed group of servers to cache content close to end users. Large websites use content delivery networks to make their sites more responsive, regardless of the location of the person viewing the site. So let's take a look at some of these. Netflix's Fast Speed Test service provides only the downlink speed. Most other services provide both uplink and downlink speeds, as well as information about latency. Cloudflare's speed test provides all of that, graphs that illustrate speeds correlated with various file sizes, and information about the connection's appropriateness for video streaming, online gaming, and video chatting. You'll also see the connection type, IP version 4 or 6, your approximate location, the location of the server being used for testing, your public IP address, multiple latency values for uplink and downlink connections, jitter, and packet loss, which should always be zero. So if you're looking for just the basic downlink number, Fast is a good choice. But if you're seeking more detailed information that will lead to a better understanding of how the connection performs under different conditions, Cloudflare's speed test is ideal. Don't let a single low-performance test send you to the ISP's technical service department. Test several times a day for at least several days to see if your connection is regularly underperforming the ISP's promised speed. And do check to see if the problem is at your end of the cable. When testing a connection's speed, only the speed test should be running. If three people in the house are streaming 4K video and you're downloading a 10 gigabyte file, the speed test will report inaccurately low numbers. The network's speed must be shared among all users. It's also a good idea to confirm that your modem and router are configured properly. Also, if you're on a Wi-Fi connection and you're in an area of the house where the Wi-Fi signal is weak, the speed values will be low. If you have a weak password on your Wi-Fi, this is a good time to check to be sure that someone isn't using your system, and to change the password. If you see consistently low speeds and you've confirmed the problem is not at your end, it's time to contact the ISP. This was a more serious problem 30 or 40 years ago. In one case, it took me more than a year to convince the ISP that there seriously was a problem. Eventually, they did fix it. Now, most ISPs can check your modem from their office and send a signal to modify settings if they're wrong. Then they can also check the actual speed between their network operations center and your location. And if there is a problem, they can fix it. They'll usually take care of it promptly. But bear in mind that it's not always a problem the ISP can fix. A website that's experiencing a problem or unexpected network congestion beyond the ISP can also cause slowdowns. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, PDF files are ubiquitous. If you need only to read them, your browser may be able to open them without any extensions, or you can download the free Adobe Acrobat Reader. Beware, though, Adobe will try to force you to install McAfee Security Scan Plus. The option is selected by default, so deselect it before proceeding. And if you'd like to see all of Adobe's options for dealing with PDFs, check their website. There's a link from the TechBiter Worldwide website. Should you need to modify the PDF file, you'll need either Acrobat Standard at $13 per month or Adobe Acrobat Pro for $20 per month. If you want to add the AI Assistant for Acrobat, that's another $5 per month. Adobe's free reader allows users to view, print, share, and add comments to PDF documents. The standard version allows the ability to edit text and images in a PDF, create, fill, sign, and send forms, and collect signatures. The Pro version adds a single additional feature, the ability to send bulk e-signature requests. Those who need to modify PDFs infrequently may balk at $156 a year, or $216 a year if they want the AI functionality. There is no question that Acrobat is a well-made application. So the question is whether you can justify the cost for an application you need only occasionally. A service called iLovePDF is web-based, so it works on both Windows and Mac computers, and Linux too. There are apps for Android and iOS portable devices. It is free for limited use, and $60 per year if you want to eliminate on-screen ads and add some capabilities that aren't in the free version. These include optical character recognition and the ability to sign documents. The free version allows text editing and commenting, the ability to split and merge PDFs, to convert them to Word files, to protect them with a password, and to rotate pages. All of the features are free, but you need a paid subscription if you need to edit large PDFs or use any batch processing. During processing, your files are uploaded to the website. The company promises to keep your files encrypted during the time they're being uploaded or downloaded, as well as when they're on the server. Additionally, any files you upload will be deleted from the server no more than 2 hours after you finish working on it. See the pricing options on the iLovePDF website. You'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website. This seems like an excellent choice for those who need to modify a PDF just every now and then. You're a leak, they're a leak, everywhere a leak. I no longer pay much attention to stories about data leaks. Instead, I just assume that my full name, address, phone number, social security number, and a lot more information about me are all available out there somewhere on the dark web. That makes a lot of sense to me because I no longer panic, not that I ever did, when I hear about a breach. I live in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and my town depends on a lot of services from the city. A few months ago, there was a gigantic data breach that leaked data about the city's employees, including police officers and firefighters, as well as water and sewer customers from Columbus and many surrounding communities. The response was typical: another free monitoring account. Well, since then, the National Public Data Breach has spilled 2.9 billion records into the dark web. Before that, Medicare leaked a million or so records. So just accept the fact that your information is undoubtedly out there somewhere, and work to eliminate or at least reduce the threat. I see little reason to respond to any specific breach. The affected organization will announce how many records were compromised and what types of information the crooks have. The breaches are cumulative, though. Your full name leaked here, your phone number leaked there, the full address somewhere else, your social security number may have leaked somewhere. So just assume the bad guys have it all. Instead, start by freezing your credit reports. There are three main credit reporting agencies in the U.S., Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. A fourth, Innovis, is much smaller. You need to visit each of these separately to freeze your credit information. The federal government explains how on USA.gov, and I have a link to that site on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Frozen credit reports are available only to you. If you're planning to buy a home or a car, you'll have to temporarily unlock the freeze so that a third party can access your reports. Each organization has instructions on its websites, or go to that USA.gov site to get the full report. You should also check your credit reports occasionally, and you can see again the USA.gov site for information on how to do that. Did you know that crooks can file a tax return with the IRS in your name and abscond with any refund you have? To avoid that, obtain an identity protection PIN from the Internal Revenue Service, and you'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website to the IRS where you can create a PIN. You'll need to request a new PIN every year unless you have been the victim of a tax-related identity theft. If that's the case, it's automatic. And freeze your banking report, too. This is a step that's often overlooked. Chex Systems maintains a record of your banking activity, and too much activity can be a problem if you want to open a new account. Extra activity can occur when scammers try to open accounts in your name, so you can establish a security freeze with Chex Systems. As with freezing your credit report, you do need to unfreeze it to give a bank access if you want to open a new account. So maybe give my process a try. Don't spend a lot of time worrying about individual data breaches. Just take preventive measures to protect yourself, and do that now. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.